Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome, welcome, welcome everybody. All you beautiful people who've taken half an hour of your life and time to sit with me for a few moments while I discuss with you the topic that I have been here now for 6 years, telling you this. I'm alive to love. I believe all lesser values than love are potential BS. I'm Bishop Randy Dean, and it's always a pleasure to be here. It's always a treat to have a moment or two to talk to you about the all-important, in fact, I think the most important value of human life, and that is love. So we're here to unpack that journey, to unpack that beautiful significance. So to that end, I'm here to lead you in something I wrote some years ago called Love's Creed. I've edited it over the years and landed at this point with this as a, I don't know, maybe it'll be edited again in the future, but right now it feels very, very secure to me. I'll lead you in Love's Creed in just a few moments. Then shortly after that, I want to lead you in the Lord's Prayer. So back to Love's Creed and why I'm here every week for the No BS Bishop I'm Alive to Love. It is simply this, and here's Love's Creed. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I am alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. That's Love's Creed. I'd be happy to send a copy of that to you if you'd email me at randydeanministries@gmail.com. randydeanministries, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail. I'll get that copy to you. But here it is in short bursts. I'll ask you to repeat after me. I find that there's great value in hearing your own voice say something that maybe isn't a part of your normal vocabulary. It stretches you a bit. And I hope it does stretch you. I hope it does cause you just a touch of discomfort to ask yourself, is this really true for me? That's the purpose of a creed. Okay, here we go. Repeat after me. I'm alive to love. I am not on this earth for hate. I'm alive for love. I'm not breathing, eating, and sleeping to regain energy for causing pain. I am alive with plans, dreams, and designs locked into anything and everything that is love. I am unavailable for anything less than love. You see, I do truly hope it gives you some sense of discomfort to say those things out loud, because to that end, you like me, while you're saying it, maybe in a nanosecond asking yourself, is this true of me? Is this my creed, or is it just something I'm pledging with, like I do looking at the flag and not really thinking through, what am I doing? I hope you're thinking it through, and I hope it's given you just a bit of a pause to give yourself the opportunity to grow a bit. Maybe grow a lot, I don't know. But there you have it, Love's Creed. Again, I'd be happy to send a copy of it to you at Randy Dean Ministries, @gmail. Now, let's go to the Lord's Prayer. I say this often, but it bears repeating, and that is this. This is the most prayed prayer in all human history. This is prayed by every denomination of Christianity, and even some that are outside of Christianity have taken versions of it. I know in recovery groups, AA, Al-Anon, CODA, and other groups that are recovery-oriented, the Lord's Prayer is in the middle of them, and they're not even necessarily, they're not religious in their foundations. But the Lord's Prayer has that significant core to it that is respected and honored by millions and millions of people and has been for two millennia. All right? So this prayer that Christ taught us to pray goes like this. Join me, would you please? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I need those words coming out of my soul, out of my voice. I need those daily. I need those words to settle me, strengthen me, give me a moment to breathe right and think right and move forward in my life. And I hope they serve that purpose for you as well. And they will if you'll just make it a part of your daily meditation. If you don't know the Lord's Prayer, that's okay. Just find a way to make it a part of who you are. I promise you at some level, it will affect you in so many good ways. All right. Well, I didn't announce my title for today or my theme for today earlier, and I want to do that now. Several days ago, I was part of two funeral services within 48 hours' time. Two different people from two different seasons of my life, and people that were very kind to me, good to me, and I was a lover of them. I hope you could imagine. I love people, and I love these gentlemen in my life. And seeing them pass from this life on was discomforting, as all death is to me. But it was also comforting in a way that I knew I could be there for the family, for the friends, and I was invited to be the officiant of both of those funerals within 2 days' time. And I've done funerals for the better part of 50 years, and I carry a respect for those kind of services, just as I do a wedding. I carry a respect for it because I love people. I always have. More so now in the last decade or so of my life, that I've recognized that love is the one thing that energizes me and keeps me going forward. But when I come to these significant episodes in life, such as weddings or funerals, I tell people those events are some of my favorite things to do as a pastor. And that may sound odd in some way, but it genuinely puts me in a place where I can be of service through love. Well, anyway, that's the backstory. Coming up on those two services, I was also being a chairman of and leading a group of people that I work for as spiritual care director for Spiritual Program Retreat here in the Amory and Western Wisconsin area. I was chairing and leading a spiritual program family retreat. So my mind was occupied with that, and that was the same week as these two funerals. I felt a bit overwhelmed, as you might imagine, mentally speaking and emotionally. But I just decided to take it as day by day, hour by hour as I could, going through that week. So to that end, I woke up one morning in the middle of those two funeral services, and I had this very sweet and serene dream where I was in like a panel discussion with people. And in my dream, I simply asked people, tell me who you are without telling me your name or what you do for a living or what your job is. Tell me who you are without telling me your name or what your job is, how you make a living. And then I said, now tell me who you are to other people or who you hope to be to other people. Well, so that was how my dream went. It was It was instructive. It was very short. I woke up shortly after that for the day to go forward in my work and planning for the funerals and later that retreat. And I was very grateful. It seemed to me that God was sliding into my slumber with some sense of security going forward, that He would give me the words I needed for the times that I was serving people in the funerals and then later that retreat. So it gave me great peace and security, which carried me through that week of a lot of commitment and busyness. So tell me who you are without telling me your name or what you do for a living. And then tell me who people are to you without elaborating on how they relate to you as a family or how they relate to you as good people, bad people, the us versus them, the tribalism and all of that. Just tell me who people are to you. And I've been walking around with that, and it has helped me significantly, not just for the funerals and retreat, but it's helped me as a human being, and now I'm carrying it to you in this radio broadcast, this podcast. By the way, this radio broadcast has officially become a podcast as well. Let's all stand to our feet and give me a round of applause. It only took a, well, never mind. Oh, anyway, this is the making of a podcast as well. So I've been giving this great thought in the context of love. So tell me who you are without telling me your name or what you do for a living. So far, I hope I've given you just a little time to meditate and think about that. And as you're meditating and thinking on that, tell me who you are without telling me your name or what you do for a living. That kind of approach to life is pretty foreign to the American value system, isn't it? It's very foreign to the way we conduct ourselves, especially if we get into a group where we're introducing ourselves or we're getting acquainted with a room full of people, whatever the case may be, because we're connected to, we're anchored in, hi, I'm Randy, and I'm a pastor, I'm a bishop. So that's my name, and that's what I do for a living. I'm a pastor and a bishop. Now, let's roll that back. If I were to introduce myself without my name or my occupation, what would I say? Well, I've come to this approach now to say to you all, hi, I'm a loving soul. And my goal in life is to love everyone on some level, at a way and in a way that sustains their need for continuing on to be in any day that I meet them, any given day I may meet them. In other words, I'm a loving soul, and I seek to love every soul who comes my way. That's who I am. That's without giving my name, and that's who I am without telling you what I do for a living. Now, I've had the opportunity and the blessing over the past several days to roll that around a lot in my mind. I'm a loving soul, and I seek to love all the souls that I meet. Now, you may say, well, wait a minute, Randy. Wait a minute. Oh, and by the way, it's not just the souls I meet, all living souls in and around me, past, present, and future. And you may say, oh, come on, that isn't possible. You don't love everybody. You don't have a clue about what it is to love, and then you can fill in the blank about who or what may be coming down the pike. Well, I have developed this philosophy of life, and that is this. I love everybody. For some, I will love them with as much proximity as is possible. The proximity, I mean, in terms of geography and walking about in life. If I'm encountering somebody and I've got to spend a day or two with them, I promise you, I love those people. I love people that live nearby me. I love people that I know day by day by day. I love people that may not even know my name, but I have chosen to love them. I love all people. Why? Because that is my creed. That is my core value. It is, as a professing follower of Jesus Christ, I think the fulfillment of the one command that Jesus gave us. Moses gave us 10 commandments, and then, by the way, a whole lot of other people added another 600 to it. But I digress. Jesus came along and said, I give you one commandment, love one another. That's it, love. That's the whole prophets and all the law in one word, love. And that's my choice of a living obedience. All right, so with that living obedience, I am determined to live love for everybody, some with all the proximity that may be afforded them and me. And I do mean that in terms of personal contact, geography, relationship. But then there are other people in that same category. While I may not have proximity to them, I simply have some moments of time here and there, perhaps once a year, maybe once a week, maybe once a month, whatever the case may be. They're less a part of my routines in this life. But I still love them. And I will love, as Jesus taught me, I will love my enemies. I will love my enemies that are proven to be an enemy. In other words, they may be dangerous. They may be threatening. They may be aimed at denigrating me, diminishing me. People who, and I've got a few and have had more than a few in my life, people who find me to be disgusting. They find me to be in error in my doctrine and all of that. They find me to be less than appealing in personality. I don't know. I mean, you could fill in the blank for how people find you to be at odds with them. And I would categorize them, as Jesus said, as loving my enemies. So those are people that could indeed be my enemy. But in my obedience to one commandment, I will love all. And I will love not just my neighbor, but I will love my enemies. And to that end, I may have to practice healthy boundaries. To that end, I will love my enemies, my friends, some closely, but I will love others at some safe distance, safe for them and safe for me. But for all, I will love. And that love may not benefit the other person. It may not give them anything that they necessarily are looking for from me. But here's what I know. I know that if I will love all, it does something for me. It does something for my critical mass in this world and in this life. It does something inside of me that gives me a greater space in me for the divine, for spirituality, for health. When I'm capable of loving those who are at odds with me, who push back against me, and even people who might be hazardous to my mental health and even my physical health, and I've had a few of those kind of folks in my life. If I can find love for them, well, I'm finding a larger space inside of me that benefits me in terms of who I seek to be. Remember, who are you without telling me your name or what you do for a living? Well, I'm a lover, and I seek to love all souls. My role and goal in this life isn't just to have a name and an occupation. My role and goal in this life is to have a purpose, a value, and a value system that is all-encompassing, that holds me steady going forward in life. And as I go forward in life, I get rocked back and forth. Storms hit me hard. Disappointments come my way, but I refuse to lower my expectations to the level of my disappointments. And to that end, I will sustain a higher view, a higher calling, and I'll pull the rudder of my little airplane called the SS Randy Dean, lover of all souls. I will pull that rudder up to keep the nose high and flying straight. And to that end, I know this. Friends, neighbors, family, and yeah, even people at odds with me are going to get my love. That's hard. That is not easy. If anybody should propose to me that I've taken the easy way out, I would propose right back, oh, shut up. You have no clue what love is if you think it's the easy way. You just don't see the bigger picture here, because the bigger picture is putting a grand demand on me. A demand on me for living a healthier, more secure and steady life when love is my name and when love is my occupation. I know that I've said here, if I've said it once, if I've said it 1,000 times, that love is not a sprint. You don't get in the starting gate of love and run for 10 seconds to see what kind of time you get for the 100 meter. No, love is a marathon. You're going to run 20 plus miles and you better pace yourself. You better have had something in your body system that will sustain your energy and your health running a marathon. I would even go so far as to say it's a triathlon. It's an Iron Woman, Iron Man pursuit. Love is not for the faint of heart. Love is not something that we do so that we can have unicorns, rainbows, and cotton candy floating around us at all times. In fact, love gets bloody. Love gets knocked down, kicked around a bit. Love gets punched in the face, because love can seem like a threat. But love gets back up and knocks off the dirt and says, I'm sorry you felt the need for that, but I still love you. Now, so tell me who you are without telling me your name. Tell me who you are without telling me what you do for a living. And then the next proposition of my dream that I described earlier is, tell me who other people are to you. Tell me about your definitions of people groups and certain racial categories, certain categories of groups of people that have now gotten the alphabet soup attached to their names and to their values. Tell me who those people are to you. Are they a threat to your security in our world? Do you find them to be the object of a culture war that you need to fight against them? They're bad, evil, sick, and wrong. Or are they souls in need of love? All people, all times, everywhere. Or do you have categories? Do you have levels? Now, I'm not talking about boundaries. Earlier I talked to you about I love everybody, but there are some people that I know for the safety of their own security and emotional life and my own safety, I'm going to have secure boundaries. I'm not talking about boundaries. I'm talking about the overarching goal of your soul to love. The grander view of a world that is starving for love. And I know we've, here in the 21st century, we've developed a whole stratosphere of all kinds of folks that they're wrong, they're wrong, they're wrong. Oh boy, and boy, are they ever wrong. And we've decided that we've got to slice and dice humanity up into different categories so that we can make sure that we prove how right we are and how wrong they are. Here's the problem with that. That kind of behavior does not look like love. So when I ask you to tell me who other people are to you, I'm asking you to dig deep, to think wide and deep and strong about how love fits your priorities for all people. When the angels came to the shepherds in the announcement of the birth of Christ, they said, good news, great joy for all people. That's the container, all people. Now here we are, people of faith, and it's almost as if we've decided that those angels just didn't know what kind of world we'd have here in the 21st century. Well, I would propose those angels had a greater grasp of what the world would look like in the 21st century than we do. And I think in their first century view of the world, they knew already humanity can be pretty confusing. Humanity can be pretty distressing and challenging. And yet they came with the message of heaven, straight from the heart and mind of God. And they shouted, they sang in the skies, good news, great joy, all people. All right, well, I've got to bring this episode to a close, and I hope I've given you something to think about, chew on, ponder. I hope you've given yourself the opportunity to stop everything you're doing and ask yourself, who are you without telling your name and what you do for a living, and who are people around you? Who are they? What descriptor do you give? So I'm known for a couple of things that I'm going to lead you in. And first of all, before you finish answering my question, let's breathe well. Breathe deep. Pull in inhale a good, healthy lung full of air. Hold it against your diaphragm and then exhale. On the count of three, inhale. One, two, three. Inhale. Hold it. And exhale. Slow your life down. Give yourself the opportunity to think deeply by breathing deeply. It lowers your blood pressure, calms your thinking, and gives you a straightforward view of the world around you. Second thing I like to do, and I do this in a lot of places, and my reputation has preceded me for this challenge and for these words, and that is that I want you to learn how to give people full attention, eye contact, and say the three most beautiful, charmed, and magical words in the human language. I love you. It's awkward, it's weird, it's startling, but it's also desperately needed for both sides of that equation. In the giving, it calls you to an attention of loving people. For the person receiving it, it gives them a moment to wonder, what in the world is happening right now? Hopefully for your spouse, significant other, or family member, they don't have to be too unnerved by it, but maybe they will be too. Whatever the case may be, those three words are shattering some of our emotional coldness that goes on in our world. That's been going on far, far, far too long. So I want to encourage you to be willing, to be daring, to stop yourself in the run of life and say these three holy, cherished, charmed, and magical words. I love you. Give yourself time to savor it. Give the person receiving it time to hear something maybe they haven't ever heard. And maybe it's simply that they haven't heard it in weeks or days or months. I believe whatever the case may be, it's a necessary exercise, especially in our divided and emotionally butchering and bruising days we live in today here in the United States. Listen to me when I tell you, those that are joining, I love you. Well, remember, the biggest mistake we make is thinking we have time. So be present, be kind, love more, love now. Mother Teresa once said, go into the world today and love the people you meet. Let your presence light new light in the hearts of others. Well, I have no pretense about being anything like Mother Teresa. I'm just Daddy Randy. I'm just Bishop Randy Dean. And I'm here to tell you, go out there and do something beautiful in this world. Because, oh, baby, ugly is getting done to death. It's time for the people of beauty to rise and shine and let their light be, I love you. Happy trails, y'all, and God bless.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m., and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.